Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to those who are listening with us tonight. Let's start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we thank you and bless you for another week of life. We thank you, Father, for providing us with spiritual food as well as physical food and all our daily cares. And most of all, Father, we thank you for your great word that you give us and open up our minds to your truth. And that you made the great sacrifice to send your son to this earth and pay the penalty of our sins. As we enter the Passover season that's coming up, this next month, we just pray, Father, that you can open up our minds more to understand that sacrifice and to be able to worship you in spirit and truth and to be accounted worthy to be able to take that Passover a month from now. We thank you for all you do, and we give you praise for all these things. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, even though the Jews are celebrating Passover this weekend, and I guess some other people also, depending on you how they calculate their calendar, going by the biblical calendar, we went over this before, the year cannot start. The month starts with the new moon, and the year cannot start until after the spring equinox happens. So that will be with the next new moon that will be coming up in about 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks from there, we will have the Passover. So I went over that the last time. I'm not going to go over that tonight. But since we are in the Passover season, I really want to, for the next month, all our Bible studies will be something related to Passover. Today, we're going to go over which day is the Passover. I think a lot of people that come into what's called, I guess, the Messianic movement, and it's Messianic because it's very messy, and sometimes people say Messiantics because their antics are very messy also, but what happens is I was blessed that I came through the congregational line that Yeshua started 2,000 years ago and was able to get from the time I started into the truth the proper doctrine of the dead being asleep and the kingdom of Yahweh being a reward and not heaven and some of these other things. And one of the things that the congregation of Yeshua has believed ever since the last Passover Yeshua kept, and we'll go over that tonight, is that the Passover is the beginning of the 14th of Aviv. And we'll see that from Scripture. The 14th day is the Passover. Now, we know from Scripture that a day begins and ends at sunset. So the question that comes up, well, is it the beginning sunset or the ending sunset? Well, the ending sunset goes into the next day, so it's not the ending sunset. If it was the ending sunset, the 15th day would be the Passover, as we're going to see here. Because in English, it may just say evening, but in Hebrew, there are certain phrases that will tell us whether it's the beginning of the evening or the end of the evening, as we'll get into that as we go along here. I do want to say, because I want to make this, I don't want to make it very, very long and drawn out. When I was learning about the calendar, 25, 30 years ago, I mean, I watched, at that point, there were videotapes, shows my age, hours and hours, 30 hours of videotapes. And really, to be honest with you, it is not that complicated. It really isn't that complicated. So the same way that we showed the year cannot start before the equinox, which is so simple from Scripture and from history, I don't know how anyone could argue with it. The same way here, I'm going to dogmatically prove to you in a very short period of time, whether you're talking about the book of Exodus and the Torah, or you're talking about the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament, both clearly show that the Passover is to be kept the beginning of the 14th, end of the 13th, beginning of the 14th. And the following night, the end of the 14th, beginning of the 15th, is the first holy day, and what is called in Scripture the night to be observed, the night that we remember of Israel leaving Egypt. And once we see the time frame, it is so clear cut, there's no way that we can get it wrong. So how do people get it wrong, right? And sometimes people say, can everyone be wrong? Well, 99% of Christians keep Sunday, Baal's Day, and they think that Sunday was changed to the Sabbath when there's not one scripture anywhere in scripture that even remotely talks about any other day but the seventh day being the Sabbath. Well, how do they get it wrong? It's very simple. They get it wrong because in Second Temple times, the Jews took those 2 days. They took the Passover day, that's the beginning of the 14th of Aviv, and the night to be observed, the night leaving Egypt, which is the end of the 14th, beginning of 15th, and they combined them into one ceremony. And still today, 2,000 years later, they're still doing the same thing. And actually, what makes it a little more confusing is that even in Scripture, all 8 days are called Passover. And all the sacrifices that are done during those 8 days are all called Passover sacrifices. So there is one Passover, right? The Passover lamb. But then there's also other Passover sacrifices that are called. So that makes it a tiny bit confusing if you've never studied it. But as we're going to see here, if we go over these scriptures, they'll be so clear cut, you can't get it wrong. And the only reason that some get it wrong is if you're following Judaism, which admits it. They're not lying about it. They admit it, that they combine those two into one. So I want to just show you here that one of the top experts in Second Temple times, his name is Alfred Edelstein. And he has a book called, I think it's called The Temple or Temple Worship. I think it's The Temple. And he has some really, really great stuff because he studied his whole life. You know, he lived in the late 1800s and he studied his whole life about this. And in his book, he clearly explains that the actual Passover sacrifice that was killed between the evenings of the 13th and the 14th, but then there was a second sacrifice, or they called it Haggadah, that's like an offering, a second Haggadah that was done the following night, the beginning of the 15th, which was a peace offering to Yahweh. So, these were the two sacrifices that were supposed to be from Scripture, but he clearly says that what the Jews did in Second Temple times is they combined the two into one. Now, it may not be as nefarious as it may sound, because you say, how could they do that? Because remember, the original Passover, people were killing the Passover in their house, right? They were taking a Passover and killing it in their house. So it wasn't that difficult. The Samaritans today, and the top Samaritan priest is a very good friend of mine, they still kill Passover lamb there. They do it. And in Mount Gerizim up there. And they do it per family like that. But in Second Temple times, they were killing thousands and thousands and thousands of lambs because you had millions of people that were coming. So it was a little bit different. So you can imagine, instead of doing it twice, doing it once would cut their work in half. I'm not advocating that it was right. I'm just trying to tell you their reasoning, which could have been behind it. But now, knowing that and understanding that, that is the reason why today, people who haven't studied it, if there's any confusion whatsoever. But let's now look in Scripture and let's see from Scripture very, very clearly which day is the Passover day and which day is the night to be observed. Leviticus 23, starting there, verse 5 and 6. In the first month, right, the first month is the month of Aviv. On the 14th of the month, between the evenings is the Passover to Yahweh. And on the 15th day of this month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yahweh. You shall eat unleavened things 7 days. Okay, so there's other scriptures, we'll read them also, that say the same thing. But very, very clearly what we see here is that they are not the same day. The 14th of the first month is Passover. The 15th of the first month is the first holy day of unleavened bread. They are not the same day. If they were the same day, it wouldn't say one is on the 14th and one is on the 15th. What's interesting here, how do we know that for sure? Because where it talks about on the 14th of the month between the evenings, that's a really, really important phrase that we're going to look at, between the evenings. In English, sometimes they can say twilight and different things that are there. But between the evenings, if you look that up, between the evenings is the term Ben Arabim. Ben Arabim. And I think it's used about five times in Scripture. Every single time is the beginning of a day. So when between the evenings is used, it's never at the end of a day, because that's not between the evenings. That's the next day. So when Ben Arabim is used as it's used here, we clearly know he's talking about the beginning of the day. So in the first month, on the 14th of the month, okay? So it's not the 15th if it's on the 14th. On the 14th of the month, okay? The end of the 13th, beginning of the 14th, between the evenings, Ben Arabim, is the Passover to Yahweh. And then the 15th, and on the 15th day, the next day, is the Feast of Unleavened. So it's really not that difficult. Let's go to one other scripture and see the same thing here. Let's go to Numbers 28 and verse 16. Numbers 28 and verse 16. And you know, if you look throughout the congregation in the wilderness for 2,000 years, there's not tons and tons and tons of doctrines that you see. But two doctrines, two major doctrines that every single, no matter which group was there, whether they're Waldenses or they're in Sabbatai or they're Paulicians, from the time of the apostles till today, two doctrines that are dogmatically and strongly kept throughout history, and that is mentioned in the history of the congregation of Yeshua, is the seventh day Sabbath and the Passover being kept at the beginning of the 14th. So, you know, today you see there's a lot of breakoff groups. I mean, from Church of God, there's thousands, several thousand groups, and except for a couple of rogue groups that probably weren't really even part of Church of God to begin with, I'd say 99% of them all keep the Passover on the beginning of the 14th, which shows you the importance of it. But Numbers, over here, Numbers 28, in verse 16, and in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of Yahweh, in the 14th day. So it's not the 15th day, it's the 14th day. The 13th day ends, and that's why when we keep Passover, what do? We wait till sunset. Okay, we wait till sunset. After the sun sets, from the 13th day and the 14th day has begun, we begin our ceremony, the Passover ceremony, okay? Because it's in the 14th day. And then look at the next verse. And in the 15th day of this month, a feast, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. So, like I said, it's so simple. Because the Bible, if they were the same day, if Passover was the end of the 14th into the 15th, the same day as unleavened bread, then it wouldn't be telling you. It wouldn't be saying it is two separate days there. So, very, very clearly, the 14th day, end of the 13th, beginning of the 14th, is the Passover. The end of the 14th, beginning of the 15th, is the beginning of the holy day, and also, like I said, what we're going to read here, the night to be observed. This is the night where the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and it's a night of celebration. So Passover night is not a celebration. Passover night is a night of soberness. And I remember when I was first started in Church of God, you know, we had 1,000 people in our local congregation there. And from the day I got there, people were friendly and loving. People you never met in your life, inviting you over their house for dinner. And it was so neat to see how hospitable and how good the people were. But I'll never forget my first Passover there. When I came, and you didn't hear a peep. You went in there, you sat in your seat, not a person. 1,000 people there, not a person talking. Because it's a sober night, Passover. Because like I said, you know, we worship a living Savior. When we go and we bring about Yeshua and we talk to Yeshua, we're talking about a living Savior. You know, it's not like the Catholic Church. It's not a scrawny, weak person on a cross that's there. No, that's not who Yeshua is. Yeshua is a living Savior. 13 times in the Brit Hadashah, it says that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, right? And he's coming as the line of Judah. He's coming back with a sword in his hand. And he's coming back to fight for Yahweh and to bring his kingdom. And this is the Savior we bring to the world. He's a loving Savior and a caring Savior, but he's a living Savior, right? He's a resurrected Savior. But But once a year, on the 14th day of the first month, we remember a dying Savior. That's what Passover is about. So Passover is not a celebration. Passover is a somber day because you know what we're doing? We're commemorating not just Yeshua's death, we're commemorating our death. Because we should have been the one dying, not him. And I say this over and over and over again. If every single person, 50, 60 billion people that ever lived on this planet, if everyone was righteous but you, the plan wouldn't have changed. He still would have suffered, been beaten, humiliated, and died for you. So it is a humbling thing, and it's a sober thing, and Passover is a very sober day, okay? So Passover is not a night of celebration, but after you take the Passover, and then the next day symbolically you're de-leavening, which is symbolically taking the sin out of your life, then you celebrate. Then you celebrate. Because now you're celebrating that Yahweh's grace has been given in your life. He allowed you to take the Passover. And that's the night of celebration. Which night is that? Not the night of the Passover. The next night. The night they left Egypt. Let's look in Exodus 12 and verse 42. It is a night of celebration to Yahweh for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This night is a celebration to all the sons of Israel for all their generations. So that's the night to be observed. That's the night of celebration. Not the Passover night. That's the somber night. The next night. And like I said, even the Encyclopedia Judaica, let me read you what it says about the two different days here. Encyclopedia Judaica, talking about the combining that the Jews did of taking the Passover night and the night to be observed and putting them together. It says, verbatim here, the feast of Passover consists of two parts, the Passover ceremony and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Originally, both parts existed separately, but at the beginning of the Babylonian exile, they were combined. This is volume 13, page 169. So, wow, very, very clearly, that's what happened. They put the two together, but they're two totally different celebrations. Now, why would Yahweh allow that? Because the Jews who did not accept Yeshua as the Passover lamb, it makes sense that they wouldn't be allowed to celebrate Passover every year. So even though it's ironic, when you say the word Passover, you think of our brother Judah, right? And for years, when I would tell people I'm keeping Passover, they'd say, but you're not Jewish. And the ironic part is Jews don't keep Passover either. Jews keep the night to be observed, but Jews don't keep Passover. Because the Passover is on the night of the 14th, commemorating Yeshua's life, death, and resurrection. The night to be observed is Yahweh's grace bringing them out of Egypt. So it's two totally different things and separate things. So let's go over this a little bit more. Let's go back to Exodus now. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3. He says, speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they shall each take for themselves an animal of the flock for a father's house, a flock animal for a house. And isn't it interesting? The 10th of the month, the animal is set aside, the sacrifice, let's say. You know, it's a flock animal, but the sacrifice is set aside on the 10th day of the month, and then it's sacrificed on the 14th. And isn't it interesting? When Yeshua came into Jerusalem from Bethany, on his last Passover before he was crucified, when he came into Jerusalem, what they traditionally call Palm Sunday, was the 10th day of the month. So he was separated then in his last Passover, the same way as the animal, the sacrifice, was separated in Exodus. In verse 4, it says, and if the house is too small for a flock animal, he and his neighbor next to his house shall take according to the number of souls, each one according to the mouth of his eating, you shall count concerning the flock animal. A flock animal, a male without blemish, a yearling, shall be to you. You shall take from the sheep or the goats. Pretty interesting that the Passover can be from either, which I think represents more of the congregation, you know, and Yeshua separating the sheep from the goats, which I believe has already started. I believe when the Holy Spirit started to be poured out from 2015, I believe that Yeshua also started separating the sheep from the goats within his people. But it's not over yet. And verse 6 of Exodus 12. And it shall be to you to keep until the 14th day of this month. And all the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the evenings, Ben Arabim, between the evenings of the 13th and the beginning of the 14th. Also, notice that, drop down to verse actually 22 here. And take a bunch of hyssop and dip in the blood in the basin, and touch some of the blood in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts, and you shall not go out anyone from the door of his house until morning. You shall not go out from the door of his house till morning. So, very, very clearly here, if you look at the time frame, the Passover could have only been the beginning of the 14th. And I'll prove that to you here. Because let's just look at the time frame of what we're reading here, right? You take the sacrifice, you set it apart on the 10th day of the month. At the beginning of the 14th, the end of the 13th, beginning of the 14th, as the Passover is starting, you sacrifice the Passover, you kill it, right? And then you eat it in that night. Then at midnight on the 14th, the death angel passes. And now what did I just read here? They are not to leave their house until morning. The word is boker. It's the break of day. So they had to stay in their house all night, right? When Pharaoh came to Moses, if you look up that word, it's actually he sent a proclamation. He sent a proclamation at red, your people can leave. It's not like in the Ten Commandments movie where Moses goes before Pharaoh in the middle of the night, because we see here very clearly they were not to leave the house. And I can tell you right now, as you're hearing screaming and moans of thousands of people dying, I can guarantee you that an Israelite was not going to leave their house until morning, like Yahweh said. Now, the next day is the daylight portion of the 14th. So what happens? They live in Goshen. Where is Goshen? Goshen is about 7 miles outside of Ramses, the capital. And scripture tells us that they left from Ramses on the 15th day at night. So what did they do the whole 14th day? You got 2 million people together and had to travel 7 miles with their flock animals and their children. And like I said, they didn't even have time for the leaven to rise, as it was unleavened bread anyway. But very, very clearly, they needed that day to get there. But now let's look at scripture that tells us when they go out, right? We already read here, Exodus 12 and verse 42. It's a night of celebration of Yahweh for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This night is a celebration to all the sons of Israel for all generations. Not the Passover night, right? The Passover night was a somber night. The next night. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 16:1. Deuteronomy 16:1. And it says, for in the month of Aviv, that's the first month, Yahweh your Elohim brought you out of Egypt by night. He brought you out of Egypt by night. So they couldn't leave during the day because they needed time to prepare. They didn't know for sure what they were doing, right? They're slaves for hundreds of years. So he brings them out by night. And was it the 14th at night? No, the 14th night was Passover. Numbers 33 and verse 3, the first part. And they pulled up stakes from Ramses, right? 7 miles from Goshen where they lived. They pulled up stakes from Ramses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. So Deuteronomy 16 says they left by night. Numbers 33:3 says it was the 15th day by night. So very, very clearly, like I said, it could be no other way. Let's look at the other way. If Passover was the end of the 14th, they killed the Passover, as the 15th is starting. Now, midnight on 15th, the death angel passes, right? Daylight portion of the 15th, they get all their stuff together to leave. And now, as they're leaving the next night, it would be the 16th. It wouldn't be the 15th. And here it's very clear. They left on the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, Numbers 33:3, and Deuteronomy 16, it was by night. So it had to be. The Passover had to start very, very early. The other thing that's very interesting is, even if you look at the name Passover, it means the same in English as it does in Hebrew. You know, Pesach. What does it mean? It literally means the passing over of what? It's the passing over of the death angel. That's what it's named for. It's not named for anything else. It's the passing over of the death angel from the firstborn of Israel, right? So now, yes, there's a beginning of a day, evening, and there's an end of a day evening. Yahweh's calendar goes from evening to evening. You shall keep your Sabbaths. Leviticus 32, 23:32 says that. But there's only one midnight. So if the 14th day of the first month is Passover, and it's named for the death angel passing at midnight, then it had to be midnight on the 14th that the death angel passed. There's no other way to do it. Because if he passed on the 15th at midnight, the Passover would be the 15th, not the 14th. And we've already read it before. The 14th day is the Passover. I'll show you again. Leviticus 23, 5 and 6. In the first month, on the 14th of the month, between the evenings is the Passover. And on the 15th day of the month is unleavened bread. So, and like I said, there's more scriptures that show this. We read it in Numbers 28 and other scriptures also. The 14th day is the Passover. The 15th day is unleavened bread. So like I said, there's only one midnight. So it had to be. It had to be that they ate it early. The other thing that's interesting is that in Exodus 12 in verse 8, let's go there. Exodus 12 and verse 8, it says, "And they shall eat the flesh in this night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs." They shall eat the flesh, telling you how to eat the Passover. So now, if the Passover was the 15th and not the 14th, it would already be unleavened bread. It would be redundant to say, eat it with unleavened bread if it's already unleavened bread. There's no leaven in the house. It's almost like, you know, for 2,000 years in Yeshua's congregation, we've never eaten unclean food. We've never eaten pork. So it's almost like every time we have a congregational picnic, that this Sunday we're going to have a congregational picnic. And don't forget, don't bring pork. I wouldn't have to say that because we already don't eat pork. I may have to tell people don't bring sugar. People are still eating sugar, which they shouldn't eat. But pork, we're not eating. We're not eating pork. So I wouldn't have to keep saying that over and over because everybody already knows it. So the same thing here. If the Passover was on the 15th, it wouldn't have to say eat it with. Make sure you eat it with unleavened bread because it would already be unleavened bread. But the fact that the Passover is on the 14th, the day before unleavened bread, that's why it's saying you have to eat it with unleavened bread. So now this is one of the things people said, but it doesn't make sense because why would you eat unleavened bread with Passover? Then the next day on the 14th, because it's not unleavened bread yet, you're gorging yourself with yeast. And then the next day you're not eating it. It's like, that's a Western mindset that comes up and thinks something like that. Because that's not the point of it. It's not the point of it to be gorging yourself with the yeast. You're actually really eating unleavened things for 8 days. Because number one, you take the Passover, right, with unleavened bread, the beginning of the 14th. Now on the daylight portion of the 14th, the same way as the Israelites were leaving Egypt, it's representative of us through Yeshua leaving sin. And that's why we're supposed to be getting the leaven out of our house, not eating it. You're supposed to be removing it, not eating it. And it can't be unleavened bread yet, or it wouldn't be allowed there. So Yahweh allows it there to remove it, not to eat it. That's not the point. But the point is, until you take the Passover and you have the spirit of Yeshua, because you can't take Passover unless you have his Ruach, his Holy Spirit. So until you have his Holy Spirit, you can't deleaven your life. You can't take the leaven out of your life until that time. So that's the point of it. It's not about gorging on the day of the 14th with leaven one last time. It's the opposite. It's about taking those symbols the beginning of the 14th. And then the daylight portion of the 14th, it's about now that the Holy Spirit is in your life, only then do you have the strength to take the leaven or the sin out of your life. And then when sunset comes in the beginning of the 15th, now we celebrate. Because we've taken the Passover, we've taken the sin out of our life, we've leavened our houses, and now we can really celebrate. And then you have your seven-day feast. So that's literally the way it was meant to be. Logically, the way it was meant to be. So now, I think that pretty much sets it up for the Torah, how the Torah says it. I don't think it can really be misunderstood. It's so clear. But you know what's even clearer than that? The Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. So let's go to the New Testament now and let's see what Yeshua says in the New Testament. Let's start with Luke 22. Luke 22. And I'm going to start here. Luke 22. Okay. And in the beginning, he talks about unleavened bread and Passover is coming near. And then he's going, and the chief priest is saying how they're going to get him. And then we see here, verse 7. And the day of the unleavened came, on which the Passover must be slaughtered. The day of unleavened came on which the Passover must be slaughtered. Which day is that? We just said it. The 14th day of the first month. So we're going to see very, very clearly, and there's no doubt about it, that Yeshua, when he kept Passover, he kept the Passover at the beginning of the 14th. So what does he say? Okay. So remember now, because some people, there's 13 references on the meal that Yeshua kept with his disciples, this last Passover, being called Passover, and people will still say it's not Passover, it's something else. Because people, sometimes they just want to blind themselves to truth. Because they don't want to admit they're wrong and they don't want to change. But very, very clearly here, it doesn't just say it's Passover. It says it's the day where the Passover must be slaughtered. You know, the day the lamb is slaughtered. So this is clearly, it's not the night to be observed. It's not the second Haggadah. This is the day of the Passover. All right? And verse 8, and he having sent Peter and John, saying, having gone, prepare for us the Passover that we may eat. Where, and like I said, whenever you have the perfect article in the Hebrew, the ha, it literally is that specific one. So we know, prepare not a Passover, prepare the Passover. Ha Pesach. Prepare the Passover that we may eat. And then he says where, he tells them where to go. He'll show you a large upper room. Verse 13, and having gone, they found as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, I have greatly desired that I eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you that from now on, I will not eat of it again until when it is fulfilled in the kingdom of Yahweh. So, there's no doubt about this. I'm not going to go through all 13 scriptures. I went through, I think, four here alone. This is the Passover. Okay? So whether you agree with it or not agree with it, people have even said, well, he had to keep it that night. He knew he was going to die. No. Yeshua would never keep the Passover on the wrong night. It's that simple. If he died, then he just couldn't keep it. He wouldn't be alive to keep it. But he wouldn't purposely keep a holy day on the wrong day because he's not going to be alive. So it's very, very clear that the day that Yeshua kept the Passover was the beginning of the 14th. Now, how do we know it's the beginning of the 14th? Because it's the day that the lambs are killed. It's the day the lambs are killed, and that's the beginning of the 14th. We know the next day is the day of the Passover when he's being crucified. And how do we know that that's not the Passover day? Because the day of the Passover was the busiest day of the year if you were a priest. You know, they had the different priestly orders that were there that served a week in the first half of the year, a week in the second half of the year, and then on the holy days, all the priestly orders served. And the Passover was the busiest day. And when we look at when Yeshua is being crucified, right? The next afternoon, Matthew 27 and verse 41. Look at the tree of crucifixion. Who's there? And in the same way, the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocking him, say he could save others. He's not able to save himself. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down from the torture stake and we will believe him. So clearly, if this was Passover, the chief priests and the scribes would not be there at his crucifixion. They would have been there killing the Passover. Because it wasn't one lamb. It was thousands and thousands of thousands. But the Passover was the night before. It was not this night. And how do we know for sure? Because when Yeshua was crucified, they had to get his body down and put it in the tomb. Why? Because its sunset was going to start the 15th of the first month in the day of unleavened bread, the holy day. Let's read it in John 19 and verse 31. This is the reason why they had to put him in the grave quickly. Then, since it was preparation that the bodies not remain on the tree on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a holy day, right? Sabbaton, that's what the word is called for holy day Sabbath. So it's very clear. Yeshua kept his Passover, the beginning of the 14th, what the Bible tells us is the day that the lambs are killed. Then he's taken at the Garden of Gethsemane when the death angel's passing at midnight. He's being taken, right? The same as the death angel's passing us because he's being taken and he's going to be the sacrifice for us. Then he's in the prison all night. The next day, he goes out from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. He's crucified. And then he's put in the tomb. Why? Quickly. Because at sunset would be the beginning of the 15th day, and the holy day would start. So there's no other way you can get this wrong. You know, you can't misinterpret it. There's no other way to look at it. The only way you could do is lie. You could try to say, nope, Yeshua didn't keep the Passover, or he did this. You can make an excuse up. But if you really want to look at Scripture, it's pretty clear. Whether we're looking at the Torah, which clearly says we keep the Passover on the beginning of the 14th, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the night later, the beginning of the 15th. Or we look at the Brit Hadashah, the same thing. Yeshua kept the Passover the beginning of the 14th, the day the lambs were killed, and the following night started the holy day, you know, on the 15th. Both of them say the same thing. Let's look at one more thing. Because Yeshua also, the Apostle Paul tells us that he commemorated us to keep and celebrate the memorial on the same day that he did. Right? The beginning of the 14th. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. In verse 23. He says, "For I received from the Master what I also delivered to you, that the Master Yeshua, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." In the night he was betrayed. What night was he betrayed? The 14th of the first month, Passover. Verse 24. "And giving thanks, he broke and said, 'Take this, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken on behalf of you. This do in remembrance of me.'" It's a memorial. You're not to take the Passover, which people call communion, every week, every day, every month, every quarter, every, you know, 4 months. You don't do it. You don't do it whenever you want to do it. It's a memorial. A memorial is something you do once a year. And when do you do it? You do it on Passover. You know, like it talks about in Exodus 12. You are to keep the Passover in its season from year to year. Okay? It's done once a year. That's what Yeshua said. "Giving thanks, he broke and said, 'Take, this is my body, which is broken on behalf of you. This do in remembrance of me.'" It's a memorial. Verse 25, "In the same way, the cup also after supping, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament, my blood. Each time you drink it, do this in remembrance of me.' For each time that you may eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly commemorate the death of our Master until his coming." That's why I said 364 days of the year, we are celebrating a living Messiah that's resurrected and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. But one day a year, the beginning of the 14th of the first month of Aviv, we humbly and soberly celebrate a dying Messiah. And that's what Yahweh said. The other thing that's interesting is that if you look, I always say this, Yahweh works in the circular, right? So everything repeats itself. And if you look at the Passover, the spring holy days, and you look at the fall, Sukkot, the fall holy days, they actually mirror each other. Because in the spring, you have Passover, which is a separate hag, a separate celebration, and then you have 7 days of unleavened bread, 8 days together. In the fall, you have 7 days of Sukkot, and then you have the last great day, a totally separate ceremony together. So it starts with one day separated, and then 7 days of the feast. It ends with 7 days of the feast and then the last great day. So it parallels each other perfectly, you know. And if you're keeping Passover, though, as the first day of unleavened, then it's not an eight-day feast. It's only a seven-day feast. You're missing out on that. So let's look one more time here. In Numbers 28:16-17. Numbers 28:16-17. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of Yahweh, and in the 15th day of this month is the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days shall be unleavened bread, or unleavened things shall be eaten. So, just in summary here, because I think I don't have really too much more to say about this, but just summing up again, going over, I think it's very, very simple. That when we look at Scripture, there's no ambiguity. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are two different feasts. Passover is on the 14th day of the first month. Unleavened bread is from the 15th to the 21st day for seven days. It's very clear that the only way, according to Scripture, the Israelites could have kept the Passover was killing the Passover between the evenings. Like it said, bin Arabim, whenever you see that phrase, it's always the beginning of the day. So it had to be between the evenings of the 13th and the 14th, the Passover was killed. They prepared it. They ate it in the evening of the 14th. Midnight of the 14th, because the 14th day is Passover, and Passover is named for the death angel passing over at midnight. So it had to be midnight on the 14th, the death angel passed. They were not allowed to leave their houses until the break of day. The next morning, on the morning of the 14th, they got all their things together. They left with more than 2 million people from Goshen to Ramses. And then the beginning of the 15th at night, which we call the night to be remembered, is when they left Ramses, like the Bible says, and they left Egypt by night. No other way. New Testament, same thing. Tells us in Luke 22 that it came the day where the Passover must be killed. And that's, you know, the end of the 13th, beginning of 14th. Yeshua is keeping Passover that night. He calls it Passover 13 times in the Good News. He tells his disciples with great desire, he desired to eat that Passover with them. The disciples went and made ready the Passover. And then afterward, he goes to Garden of Gethsemane. And just like the death angel passing at midnight, he gets taken at that time. He's in prison all night. And then in the morning, he gets crucified the morning of the 14th from 9 a.m. in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's taken off the tree and he's put into the tomb, as John 19:31 tells us, because sunset would be coming soon and it would be the 15th day and it would be the holy day. It was a holy day Sabbath that was coming. So there's no other way to miscommunicate it. And then Paul just sums it up in Corinthians 11, it says that as he's giving to us was exactly what Yeshua gave to him. That it's the night that Yeshua was betrayed, the beginning of the 14th of the first month of Aviv, that we are to celebrate the Passover and commemorate his death every year until he comes. And like I said, the early congregation, they had different things. You know, I'm studying them for, close to 40 years I'm studying the early congregation. You know, I wrote my book, The Gates of Hell. If somebody's out there that hasn't read it yet, you're welcome to ask for a copy. But I could tell you something, like I said, in all the different manuscripts, and there's all different ones, you're talking about, you know, almost 2,000 years of history. The two things that you see in almost every era that is unwavering with the believers is the seventh day Sabbath and the 14th, the early 14th Passover, because those are two things that are important. Those are two things that relate to our covenant, right? The Sabbath is a covenant of us. It shows us children of Yahweh. And the Passover shows us also as children of Yahweh in covenant members. And if you don't keep the Passover, you're done. You're done. You're out of covenant relationship. It is the only holy day that there's actually a second one, just in case you're on your deathbed, just in case you're in a coma, anything that happens, that if you can't keep it, you would do it the following month at the same time, which shows the importance of it. And that's why Yahweh would want to make sure that there's no way that we can misinterpret it. So I think I'm pretty clear tonight how to calculate it. If you have any questions, please write me. I'd be happy to answer them. But in 2 weeks, we will be heading in. You know, and it's interesting now that here in the Middle East, it's been very, very cold, you know, recently. So while people are keeping their pass, I say this every year, and again, it could have just as easily been hot this time of the year right now, because it varies. But all I can tell you, in our years of living here, in all these years, 20-something years, I have never once seen at Passover where the weather did not fit Yahweh's calendar, you know. And sometimes it's just a day or two where it could have went the other way, you know. I mean, so there's times where it can be hot in March. It's times that it could be cold in April. But every year I've seen, and here it is, people are keeping an early Passover. They started the year before the equinox, and the cold weather is still here. Even snow in some areas, believe it or not. And it's not the first time, you know. So with that said, I think it, to me, it's just, it's like almost like Yahweh's covenant continues. It's just him showing, you know, not that we need to see it, but it's showing, yes, you do have it right. So for the ones keeping the biblical calendar, we have about 2 weeks now until the next new moon. The next new moon will be the new moon of Aviv and the first day of the new biblical year. And in about 1 month from right now, we will be keeping the Passover on the beginning of the 14th of Aviv. So I hope you're blessed by this study tonight. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.